Hi, everyone, and welcome to First State Insights, a podcast presented by the University of Delaware's Institute for Public Administration. That's IPA for short. My name is Troy Mix. I'm Associate Director at IPA and your host for this episode. I'm back with another Freight Friday edition of First State Insights, brought to you through a partnership of IPA and the Delmarva Freight Working Group, an ongoing transportation planning and economic development partnership coordinated by IPA, the Delaware Department of Transportation, and Delaware's three metropolitan planning organizations, the Dover-Kent County MPO, the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO, and WMAPCO. My guest today is Andy Milanis. Andy is the founder and CEO of Argentech LLC, which was recognized as Delaware's Exporter of the Year by the U.S. Small Business Administration in May 2023. Founded in 2010, Argentech is a consumer electronics wholesaler that exports from its base in Wilmington, Delaware to over 70 countries around the world. On May 26, 2023, I spoke with Andy about his journey as an entrepreneur, including the challenges and rewards of operating an export business, the small business support services Argentech has benefited from, and the positive impacts Andy and Argentech have made and hope to make in Delaware. Let's get to the conversation. All right, Andy, thanks so much for joining me today. Really glad to have you here with me.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I wanted to start first, congratulations on your naming as Exporter of the Year by SBA Delaware. Great to learn a little bit about Argentech today. And I guess to start, I mean, could you just tell us a little bit about the company? Where's the name come from, first of all?
So I was born in Argentina. And when it was time to name the company, I thought of a few things. One is, I'd like a company that starts with the letter A so I could be at the top of the directories. We do take part in a few directories, B2B directories. So it's always nice to be featured at the top. And it was really hard to come up with a name that hasn't already been taken. So Argentech comes from two parts. I was born in Argentina and we sell technology and technology related products.
And you sell technology. Who are you selling to? Who are you buying from? What's that business look like?
So we, our customers are mostly outside of the United States, thus the Exporter of the Year award. I don't have a number off the top of my head for 2022, but in 2021, 88% of our sales were outside of the United States and 12% of our sales were in the US domestic. And what we sell is consumer electronics, brand name consumer electronics predominantly. We do sell other non-electronic products. And our customers are usually retailers, internet retailers, or value-added resellers in other countries.
How did you kind of come up with the idea to be in this space? And how did that translate to kind of launching?
The company was started in the year 2010. And I actually worked for somebody else in the export world from 2003 until just before the company launch. As you probably know, in 08, 09, we had an economic downturn, and that company didn't survive all of the issues that came about in 08, 09. At that time, I was too young and too poor to retire, so I thought, I've got to do something. And it was pretty natural to me to transition and do this on my own. In addition to that, I've always liked export, or more importantly, I got into the export world kind of coincidentally, but I always liked dealing with people all over the world. One of my first jobs was actually working in a retail store across the street from the Empire State Building. And I worked there for 6 years. And over the course of those 6 years, I got a chance to meet people from literally all over the world. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that dynamic. I enjoyed learning about people. I enjoyed meeting somebody from a place I had never met somebody from before and looking it up on the map and at least learning what capital was, the capital city. So that's kind of one of the big reasons why I'm an export.
Beyond, I guess, meeting people from all around the world and dealing with them on a day-to-day basis, what are the particular kind of opportunities and challenges of being in the export space?
So I think there is something like 8 billion people in the world and 350 million live in the United States. So just looking at the number of people as an opportunity. The US is a huge market, but when you take the aggregate of all the other markets, the United States is small. Now, I wish that we were the dominating force in the United States, like the Best Buy in retail or the Amazon and internet e-commerce. But even as a small business, when you look at the opportunities outside of the United States, you understand that there's a lot to be explored and a lot to be improved upon.
So 2010, you're founded. How many employees did you have at the start? I imagine maybe I'm looking at the employee.
So actually, we didn't start with a single member because of the fact that I had transitioned from this company that was pretty much closing. I did manage to scoop up a handful of talented individuals, one of which worked with me for 10 years. It started as 3 employees, and that quickly grew to 5 within the first few months. I think as of right now, we're at the 30 to 32 mark. One of the things that's different today is that we've got employees located across the globe. Obviously, our home base is in Delaware, and that's where our warehouse is. That's where Entity is. And of course, we have warehouse employees there. But in addition to the employees in the United States, we've got employees in Argentina, in Macedonia, in the Philippines, one in Bosnia, one in Spain, and one in Mexico.
And so being, you know, operating globally, what kind of advantages does that bring, having that distributed workforce?
One of the biggest advantages that I can think of is the time zone differences. Our customers are spread out throughout the world. They operate on different time zones than we operate on, obviously. And having a staff that starts at 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time allows us to capture a lot of that business, which is happening in Europe, in the Middle East, in parts of Africa, even as far as New Zealand and Australia.
And you've had pretty substantial growth in the last 12 or so years. What would you point to beyond the workforce and where they are worldwide as some of the strengths that are giving you some advantages in the marketplace?
So, you know, I always say it's 2 steps forward, 1 step backwards. So it's not, I don't think growth is linear, or at least it hasn't been for us. It's not as simple as coming to work every day and doing what you need to do, and then the following day is going to be better. Some days are better, some days are worse. We obviously don't like to look at it on a day-by-day basis, but even if you look at quarters or year over year, we do have setbacks. One of the things that has brought us success is our work ethic, not just my work ethic, but as a team, we are all very dedicated. Myself, work is an important part of my life. There are many aspects of my life, but work is an important part of it. And I do something that I love, so it makes it easy to be dedicated and put in the time. But I do put in the time, and I have, over the course of the last 13 or so years, been at the forefront of the team, making sure that we're getting things done. That's one part of it. The work ethic is definitely a big piece of it. The other piece of it is the problem solving. So as a small business, you're always going to come across problems. You're always going to have to discover new things, and you're almost always not going to have the resources necessary to tackle those challenges. So you have to get creative. I will give you some examples. So, and this is actually a word of caution to anybody who does export, especially in the airspace. 2021, we shipped out 8 boxes to South Africa. Many of the products that we sell have lithium batteries in it. And because they have lithium batteries, they're considered hazardous material, or as the industry calls it, hazmat. When you ship a box with more than 2 lithium batteries on it, you need to put a specific marking on it. And that's part of our process. It happens to be that this day in November, busiest time of the year, 8 boxes went out without the proper markings. FAA stopped the boxes before they got on a plane and held them and contacted me. And they basically explained what the risks are and why I would be personally liable in the event of a disaster. Now, I fully understand, and I did before that, that it's important to follow these procedures. What I didn't know is what the repercussions would be. And fortunately, with a lot of training, discovery, and a well-worded email to the people who make the decisions, we were given a second chance, let's say, or we were afforded leniency. But this was a big issue. And, you know, this is the type of thing that as a small business owner, you absolutely dread, because you get that phone call, and this phone call could change your business overnight or destroy your business overnight, let's say. So to put things into perspective, I believe the maximum penalty for one box per box is $88,000. And we had shipped 8 boxes. I think the maximum penalty would have been over $700,000. So $700,000 is enough to shake any small business. Of course, you always have to be willing to make changes to your system, to your trainings. And as an example, one of the things we now do is any box which has lithium batteries, our software actually has a little pop-up that the shipper has to check off that they've labeled them and marked them correctly. And that was actually our warehouse manager's idea. He said, why don't we have the software determine when these markings have to be on the box? And the person packing the box has to agree to the fact that it has been adequately labeled. It may seem insignificant, but if it avoids us having to be in that situation again, in this, you know, catastrophic situation where our business could disappear overnight, then that's a very important change. So I think the capacity to change and adapt and learn and solve those problems is definitely key for any small business.
And so a little bit from the global to the local here. So with Delaware-based podcasts, we're really interested in why you chose Delaware as a home base. What are the things that make it a good fit for Argentech?
We actually started in Brooklyn, New York, which is where I was raised. The reason we moved to Delaware, actually, it was several reasons. I'll just cover a couple of them. And one of the reasons is because Delaware is a sales tax-free state. In addition to buying from traditional channels like distributors and manufacturers directly, we do also take advantage of opportunities when retailers have sales. I know that sounds crazy, but the way our industry works is the largest players like the Best Buys and the Amazons will often have prices that are lower than our wholesale cost. So that was one of the reasons. Another one of the reasons was the cost of living / cost of labor. In New York City, when you're paying a warehouse employee $15 to $20 an hour, you are not really a competitive employer. You are effectively paying minimum wage or close to it, and you're competing with the fast food places and the, I guess let's call it the local low wage opportunities. I feel that, and I know this has changed a lot over the course of the last 2.5 years that we've been in Delaware, but I feel that in Delaware, paying the same rate that we can afford to pay, we're actually a much more competitive employer. So at the same pay rate, we can acquire and retain more talent. And the last one, which is a big piece of it, is that the real estate costs are, I want to say, cost prohibitive in New York City. I actually prepared for this podcast by searching how much real estate expense would be in New York versus where we currently are. And when I say New York, I don't mean downtown Manhattan. I mean Brooklyn, where we were before. And it's 4 to 5 times as much as what we're paying. So it is a substantial savings. So that's definitely a big draw to Delaware.
And when we talk in the freight group, we're often thinking about kind of accessibility to different markets in terms of something that might attract people to be in Delaware or not. I wonder, you know, how accessible is Delaware to the markets you need to be? I know there's a lot more people in New York City, obviously, but what do you need to be near to make it work for you?
That's a great question. What we need to be near is ports. We're shipping most of our inventory through air carriers or express carriers, DHL, FedEx, UPS. And we did have that in New York. We were close to JFK, which is a drop-off spot for FedEx. But here in Delaware, you've got that as well. You've got Philadelphia International Airport less than 30 minutes away, which is very important to us. And the important thing when you look at shipping is to think about where the volume is. If you are in the middle of nowhere, it's more costly, it takes longer. So if you're in a place with a high volume and a lot of movement, then you're going to have more access to shipping. As an example, in New York City, we had very aggressive pallet rate to Miami, Florida. And the reason is because there are express carriers that only go New York, Miami. Interestingly enough, we actually have now secured the same rate in Delaware because of the same reasons, because there are carriers that are doing Delaware to Miami. And the fact that there is this volume and there is this competition means that you've got aggressive rates from the carriers.
Yeah, and one more question on your Delaware operations. I think there's another mysterious thing is what do warehouse workers do? And I know that, you know, can vary a lot from what an Amazon worker does or a Walmart, et cetera. What does the work that your warehouse employees are doing in Delaware look like?
Well, that's a great question. And you mentioned Amazon, and it's nothing like Amazon. I want to make that clear. You see the commercials of Amazon warehouse employees in this 200,000 square foot warehouse, and all they do is sit there and do the same step over and over again. Or even if you think back to the I Love Lucy intro where she was, I think she was capping bottles for Coca-Cola. And, you know, that's a assembly line type of work where you do the same thing over and over again. We've got a staff of three warehouse employees currently, three full-time warehouse employees and some floaters. They have to be capable of doing everything from receiving merchandise, inspecting them for damage, shipping out merchandise, processing returns, creating labels, creating shippers export declaration forms. Some of that is actually done remotely as of the last year and a half, but historically that was all done in our warehouse, down to creating invoices to customers when the goods went out to adhere to the shipments.
The company's based in Delaware. You're not physically based in Delaware yourself. You're not from Delaware. I'm curious kind of what support you've needed and been able to get from small business community and economic development community in Delaware.
So I'm not normally the type of person that likes to ask for help. And that's a flaw. It's a personality trait. It's not a flaw necessarily. But what I learned is that there are so many resources available. And until you raise your hand and say, I need help, nobody's going to come to you and help you. I mean, sometimes, coincidentally, it can happen by happenstance. But what you really need to do is you need to get involved. You need to reach out to the SBA, for example. What I did is in December of 2021, I reached out to the Small Business Development Center. Actually, they're based out of, my contact is based out of UDEL as well, I believe. And I asked her, what can the SBDC do for me? And what is it that you guys offer? And I was surprised because it didn't go at all like I expected. What I expected would be one-on-one counseling where she gives me strategies for growth, or she talks about my bottom line, or she looks at my books and tells me where I could be stronger or what could I be doing better. What I actually got is somebody who put me in touch with a ton of resources that I had no idea existed. As an example, and this isn't a huge example, but last year we received a grant from the SBA called the STEP grant. And it's, I believe it's exclusively for exporters. But even though this wasn't a huge sum of money, it goes to show you there are things that your operation may be doing that could be subsidized in order to help you grow to the next level. In addition to that, she's also put me in touch with, hey, let's talk about the important one, She's the one who nominated us for the SBA Exporter of the Year Award. And thanks to her, we're having this conversation because I didn't even know that this existed. And there is somebody at the SBA whose job is to nominate, well, not exclusively the SBA, but there's somebody at the SBA whose job is to find adequate contestants, let's call them, and nominate them for these types of awards. And this award is huge to us. Another thing SBDC and our counselor has been able to help us with is last year, Russia invaded Ukraine, and that changed things for us as well. In 2021, 5% of our business came from Russia. And when war broke out, like any small business, we didn't really know what we can do, what we can't do, what the right steps are. The issue is that I can't just call Joe Biden and ask him, what am I supposed to do with Russia? And I have no resources. So my first phone call was actually to our SBDC counselor, Margot Rain. And I told her, this is going to affect our business. I need to know what I can and can't do. And she quickly put me in touch with somebody at U.S. Commercial Services, which was able to give us some guidance and other resources, which were able to, I guess, steer us in the right direction. And in addition to that one-time education that was provided to us by U.S. Commercial Services, Tony Poo has actually kept me up to date with every single change that has happened in that whole Russia-Ukraine invasion. So as of today, we are not allowed to ship anything to Russia. It is a sanctioned country, and we have not exported to Russia. But it was important to have somebody to call on that can tell you what you can and can't do.
I mean, really great to hear that you've been able to get a network here in Delaware that can answer those real important questions for you. And you mentioned kind of getting involved, being involved in the community, generally speaking, earlier in our conversation. And I'm curious kind of how you think about your contributions to Delaware now and how you'd like those to evolve over time.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. Delaware has been very welcoming to us. It may seem silly, but just our neighbors, our residential neighbors, where our warehouses are extremely friendly. We actually had an inconvenience last year where we had somebody steal merchandise from our front area, from our loading area. It was delivered by a carrier on the weekend, even though we have a huge sign that says, don't deliver merchandise if nobody opens the door. But nonetheless, it was delivered. And now, as you know, what do they say? Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. It happened to be that that weekend our front camera went out. So we didn't have any footage of this. Day after we discovered the loss, a neighbor comes to us and rings the bell and says, I have footage, and completely unprompted. She comes to us and says, I have footage of somebody carrying a box. I believe this was yours. And I don't think it's something that would have happened in our location in Brooklyn. I do think that people keep to themselves a little bit more in Brooklyn than they do in Wilmington. And I do love the fact that the community in Delaware has been so welcoming to us. As far as our contribution to Wilmington or to the state of Delaware, obviously we've come in and have started employing local Delaware residents, which is one of the things that we can give back as a business. We rent a space there, which is, again, one of the ways that we can give back to the local economy. I do hope that we grow over the course of the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years to the point where we need a larger space, where we can double or triple the amount of workforce that we have in Delaware. In addition to that, I also hope to be able to speak with other business owners. One thing I am passionate about, and I told you this on our previous call, one of the things I'm passionate about is entrepreneurship. And I love it when another business owner, regardless of the industry that they're in, comes to me and uses me as a sounding board, tells me, hey, this is my idea, this is my challenge. And I love to do that as well. I love to reach out to somebody who's been in my shoes before and can give me feedback and say, well, you know, from my experience, this is good, this is bad. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, but it's great to have a second opinion and a second set of eyes. So one of the things I'd love to do is do more podcasts, talk to the local businesses. If the World Trade Center will have me speak at the World Trade Center event, So things like that, I think that's a way that I could give back.
And you mentioned kind of 2 to 3 years hoping to double or triple in size. I mean, when you think about 2 to 3 years or 5 to 10 years, what does the future look like for Argentech and how do you hope to get there?
As I mentioned before, I don't think growth is linear. And I think that certain things that we've been working on diligently will pay off with dividends. There are a few things that we are hoping to do more of. One of them is directly distribute brands. So currently we have relationships with maybe a dozen brands where we are the direct distributor of those manufacturers. But we really want to grow that base of products. And we want to do so in a way which is beneficial for both the manufacturers and for ourselves and, of course, our customers. One of the ideas that we've been, I guess, kicking around is the idea of getting more involved in the marketing aspect that our customers do. So as you probably know, marketing works differently in different places. And one of the things that big brands get wrong is localized campaigns, let's call them. So even the largest brands like Chevrolet have made the mistake of naming their car, their Chevy Nova, the Chevy Nova in Latin America. I'm sure every marketing student will have heard this story at some point. So Nova in Spanish is actually Nova, which means doesn't go. So they put out a car that's called the doesn't go. And of course, it was a flop in South America. One of the things that we want to do is we want to help the manufacturers and the brands have localized marketing campaigns. And we want to do that by working with our customers overseas to create marketing campaigns for other manufacturers that we're currently partnered with. In addition to that, we also hope to use technology more. One of the things that we've been developing over the course of the last year is a big data database, which is, I think, has something like 400,000 different products. And what that database does, it tracks historical pricing and availability for different products and connects to our customers' storefronts or inventory management systems and is able to an extent, predict where there's going to be opportunities and potential for additional sales. In addition to that, it does things like track their sell-through rate, so it could tell them when they're running out of inventory and a few other things, just to name a few. But I do think that technology is an important piece of the puzzle that we are really, really dedicated to, that we're perfecting.
Well, it was great to hear from you today, Andy, and hear a little bit about kind of where you've been and where you're going. I look forward to meeting you in person as you continue to be engaged in Delaware and kind of your presence here grows, both you individually and the team, broadly speaking. So thanks so much for taking time with me today.
Well, thank you very much, Troy. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to meet you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this special Freight Friday edition of First Aid Insights. To learn more about Andy and Argentech, visit argentech.org. That's argentech.org. For more on the Institute for Public Administration, visit ipa.udel.edu. If you enjoyed this episode, look for past and future episodes of First Aid Insights wherever you get podcasts. I hope you tune in again soon. Take care.